Welcome back to the Visit Julian podcast. We are super excited to keep these podcasts going and to share great information about our local businesses with you. Today's no exception. We have Alex from Quinn Knives right on Main Street. Welcome, Alex.
Hey, how's it going today? Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. We're super motivated to let everybody know about businesses that are in the whole Julian area. And even though you're on Main Street, you're tucked back a little bit. So it's nice to let people know, hey, I exist. I'm here. Come see me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think the series is great just in the sense that, like, what we offer up here in Julian is just, like, a totally different experience than just heading into town. Well, for us, heading into town is like going into the big town, like Temecula, Ramona, you know, do our big shopping. But like you go to a Target, you go to a Walmart, whatever, and it's just a commodity. Mm-hmm. You come up to Julian and each of our individual stores, you know, Quinn Knives and all the other great stores in town, like they have stories, they have history, they have personalities, and it's real people that are there every day and pour everything into it. And, you know, we all worked other jobs and we care about our jobs, mm-hmm. but again, it has this feeling of just very much like a nameless corporation and all mm-hmm. that stuff, and we don't think about it. Mm-hmm. We're just like, oh, I gotta go buy, you know, whatever today. And mm-hmm. so yeah, it's really fun for me to listen to these and learn more about like my neighbors.
Sure.
And the places that, you know, I'm like, oh man, I really gotta go check that place out.
Right.
You know, so yeah, like we just listened to Jeremy's on the Hill was a recent one, mm-hmm. and that's a fun one, and all of them. So yeah, thanks for having us. And like, I am tucked, I'm on Main Street. I'm mm-hmm. right in the main section of town, mm-hmm. if you will, kind of the happening middle. But we're in the W.E. Cole Building, mm-hmm. which was built in 83. Mm-hmm. And it's that blue building right across from, like, Mom's and the Mercantile. But, yeah, we're on main, like, the ground floor. We're on street level. Mm-hmm. But we're kind of back, like, I don't know, maybe about 40 feet in mm-hmm. a little courtyard.
Uh-huh. It's a very sweet little building. It's a nice little place to build. I think it represents Julian perfectly, the feel of the building.
Yeah, it's got a fun little upstairs and downstairs, mm-hmm. and, there's a cool little stairwell in the courtyard, and we recently have some new building owners, so they put in, like, a new, you know, they redid the courtyard for us and stuff, mm-hmm. so, and actually, one of the things, you know, credit where credit's due, the new owner of the building is a local, mm-hmm. you know, before it was just kind of a nameless corporation. But yeah, he's allowed us, you know, it's a multifunctional building in the sense that there's multi-businesses.
Right.
Right? So it's not just me.
Yeah.
There's myself, the Candy Basket, Pistols and Petticoats, mm-hmm. Mary Lee upstairs doing the knitting, all that stuff. So as such, you know, they've allowed us to put some signage out on the street level, so mm-hmm. the sidewalk level. So man, I can't tell you how many people in the last like 2 months have walked in and been like, I've been coming to Julian 20 years and I never knew you were here.
I didn't know you were here.
Are you a new store? And I'm like, buddy,
no.
We've been here since 1983,
yeah.
you know, like, you know, 39 years now, yeah. and it blows their mind.
Yeah.
But that's okay. People ask me sometimes would I like to kind of move locations, and we have a really specialized product. You know, a lot of our customers kind of really make the trip here from outside of the area.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of knife stores in general. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of stores that sell knives,
right.
if that makes sense, right?
It totally makes sense.
But there's not a lot of knife stores.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a handful, mm-hmm. Really, anywhere, you know, kind of in California, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, we have a very specialized clientele that really, you know, knows the history of the store and keeps a little bit of the riffraff out by being 40 feet off the sidewalk. But no, it's good. We love it. I have this funny phenomenon I call the U-turn.
Uh-huh.
So I can see through, like, we have our windows of the store kind of face the sidewalk.
Right.
Even though it's 40 feet away. So I'll sometimes kind of just see people make their way all the way to the door, and then they'll kind of go, like, you'll see their faces go, oh, and they do a U-turn and, like, book it out. Because, like, maybe knives aren't their thing.
Right.
But, yeah, it's all good. It's a good spot. I'm very fortunate to be there.
Yeah, you know, in some ways, that actually, if you think about it business-wise, like you said, I hate to use the term, keep the riffraff out, but what it does is it keeps the customers that are really your customers coming in, and those who might not be your customers not coming in. I mean, like you said, not everybody's into knives. Or here's the other thing. People can be intimidated by it. Like, oh, I don't know anything about knives. I can't go in there, you know, like, because they don't want to look dumb asking questions or what have you.
You know what? That's actually a really interesting phenomena. You know, so quick backstory, like retail sales in this sense is very new to me.
Mm-hmm.
I came from a pretty successful career in like the corporate world and brand marketing, you
mm-hmm.
know? So for me, I'm used to working for like billion-dollar brands and thinking of things at much more of a macro level and sure. consumer behaviors and stuff. Now it's very much like one-on-one and mm-hmm. and dealing with folks on like, again, that super small level. And I have had a few people, like actually one of our only negative sort of kind of review we've gotten since I took over the store almost 2 years ago was a customer who came in and he felt intimidated. Mm-hmm. And he even said that. He goes, man, I came in and it was really busy and I don't know anything about knives mm-hmm. and I felt stupid asking questions. Mm-hmm. And I kind of responded to him and wrote my note back and said, hey man, don't ever feel silly about asking questions about something you might not know about. Yeah. Like, especially in a store like Quinn Knives where we are able to really take that time to work with you. And I love helping people understand different knife shapes or blade makers. Uh-huh. And we know all of our brands. We know uh-huh. all of our individual kind of companies we work with. But yeah, it is something that all of us use knives every day, mm-hmm. every single day. We just don't think about it because mm-hmm. it's the butter knife. It's the culinary knife in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's that sort of thing. And for some reason, when we change the handle a little and the color and call it like a pocket knife or a hunting knife, we all of a sudden just like lock up and say, well, this is really different and scary. When it's like, really no different than an 8-inch chef's knife that you use mm-hmm. in your kitchen to just dice stuff up without thinking. So yeah, we do pride ourselves on greeting every customer mm-hmm. And just saying, like, I tell everybody that walks in, I go, look, man, if you don't buy anything today, all good with me. Mm-hmm. I just want you to come in, have fun, enjoy the store, learn a little bit, and mm-hmm. walk out of here like feeling like it was worth your time, even just to walk in for
check it out for two
minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll come back another day. Yeah. And I don't know, for a small business, I think that's the kind of mindset we have to have. Like, every person that walks in is, whether or not they buy something or not, it's all good.
Yeah.
Like, let them just have fun. I used to come up to Julian as a shopper for 10 years uh-huh. before I bought this store. Uh-huh. So I'm used to being the guy who comes up with his wife and just bops around town and goes, what a cool store. Oh, yeah. Man, that shopkeeper was, like, super fun.
Yeah.
Or, oh, man, that guy, I don't know, that dude wasn't really... It kind of was grumpy. Like, you know, each of those experiences expands out.
Sure.
So, you know, I don't know. That's been really exciting for me to kind of have those one-on-one experiences.
Yeah. Because that's a little bit about what Julian is about. Like you were saying in the very beginning of our interview about how when you just go to the big city, the big stores, you don't really think about it. But Julian's more of a place that's experiential. I just used a big word.
Yeah, well, I won't tell you that. My last what I call real job was experiential marketing.
Oh, really?
That's right. I can throw marketing buzzwords at you all day. Let's let it bubble up organically and just get some tastemakers to come through.
Somehow I came up with the word experiential.
Yeah.
Maybe you were psychic. I was psychically connected to your brain in the past. Do me a favor then, since we talked about that, what brought you from that world into this world? Were you a knife hobbyist or how did you come from what you were doing into what you are now doing?
That's a great question. So I think it's worth noting that Quinn Knives again started in 83 mm-hmm. By George and Nancy Quinn.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And George and Nancy Quinn, awesome. Ironically, they actually grew up in the same town that I used to be in. They're from Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
Plymouth Rock, the Pilgrims, that mm-hmm. whole thing. And when I got to know Nancy and we're talking through the business, you know, side of things, I think I asked her, like, oh, where are you from? She's like, Plymouth, Mass. You know, this little... I was like, Nancy, I used to live in Plymouth. Like, I grew up in Massachusetts and used to live in Plymouth. So anyway, small world. But yeah, Nancy, you know, her husband George passed away in 07.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy kept the store going. She used to have the Falcon Gallery and mm-hmm. kind of shut the gallery down to focus on Quinn Knives. So I was in there Father's Day 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So almost 2 years ago to the day.
Yeah.
I was in there about a week before Father's Day by my dad a gift. Mm-hmm. Oh, crap. I got to get my dad something, you know. I'm going to go up to Julian. But the reason I had a midweek day off is like many of us, you know, COVID kind of hit my industry pretty hard.
Sure.
So I was in corporate brand and product marketing and my most recent full-time job, like, you know, career type job was working for an agency in Hollywood doing experiential marketing. Mm-hmm. So what that means is like live events. Mm-hmm. We did a lot in gaming and esports. So what we were doing was producing live video game competitions all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, that's air travel. That's 150 players in a room for 3 days. That's 200 staff and, you know.
So it's a germ factory.
Yeah. So when COVID hit, you know, this is March 2020 when really the two-month lockdown really happened. Right. my agency had to do some pretty serious layoffs because, you know, all your stuff, all your money, all your income was gone because everything got canceled. So, yeah, it was pretty tough times. And I was up here buying that knife, got talking to Nancy, like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, met her a couple times, just, you know, customer small talk. And I was driving home and I said, that's a really cool store. And I've always enjoyed going up there. And I was a knife enthusiast. I mean, I got some really hardcore knife guys as customers. I was more of an enthusiast, hobbyist. You know, I had a little, maybe a dozen knives in my collection, but I was starting to buy some custom stuff. And I always carry pocket knife, my, you know, almost my whole life. It's a very useful everyday tool for me. So I was driving home and I was like, man, it's a really cool store. And I wonder what she's going to do with it. Because she was telling me how she's, you know, in her upper 70s, her son lived out of state, her husband had passed. So I kind of came back a couple days later and walked in and looked at her and said, well, this is going to really sound funny. And I don't mean to be, like, weird about it, but, like, you're kind of getting old. And no, like, we were joking and having a goof, you know, because she was kind of using that language with me.
Sure.
She's like, you know, kind of getting old. And yeah, if you ever met Nancy,
she's adorable.
She's funny.
Yeah.
She has a sharp wit, man. Yeah. So we were having a good time, and I kind of threw that back, and she goes, well, I've been thinking about selling it. And I was like, want to talk about it? And here, you know, here we are. So we talked about it. We looked at the numbers, and again, I'm out of work. Unemployment's kind of running out, and you're sitting there going like, is my industry ever going to come back?
Sure.
Is marketing, in the sense of the way I did work and the kind of jobs I did, is this going to be a year? Is it going to be 2 years? Like, I didn't know.
No one knew. Absolutely.
So I kind of bought myself a job. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know what? This store, I can pay my bills. I can keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my wife also works full time and her job was secure. So that was quite positive. But I was like, you know, I got to get back to work. I don't want to just sit around like staring at the wall.
Sure.
So, yeah, buying a retail store during a pandemic, a lot of people are like, are you nuts?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, it just, I've been a big proponent of like not being afraid to take an opportunity when it presents itself.
Sure.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it's been great. And I actually turned down a corporate job like maybe 6-7 months ago. It was like a dream job, and they came recruited me, and I had a phone interview scheduled, and I called them that morning after I drove into Julian. I opened up the store and I just looked around. I said, I'm good. I called them up. I said, my heart's not in it, guys. I'm turning down this interview, and thank you so much. And yeah, so I'm committed to Quinn Knives, and my customers are a big part of that, man. I like, it's really fun. I love talking to the folks. People really enjoy the store. So yeah, you know what? I'm going to keep it going.
Good for you. Let's talk a little bit about how you could and might, I mean, it's obvious, but let's go ahead and verbalize it. How can you serve the locals of Julian? Like, what should they come in to see you for?
You know, we have, like, Julian's such an outdoor community, you know, like, especially folks that are visiting from outside the area, it's easy to extol the virtues of living in the backcountry.
Mm-hmm.
We're very outdoors, we're very active, you know, you're not kind of in this kind of jammed in little community. You got, like, property normally, you're very hands-on. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and, you know, they had 50 goats and chickens and all this stuff, and, you know, a knife, be it a fixed blade, you know, kind of on your belt, or just a little pocket knife, it's a tool you're using all the time. And I can't tell you how many folks kind of carry a knife, or they start and they say, man, I use this thing way more than I thought.
Sure.
And it's, everybody thinks like Rambo stuff. Oh, I'm going to buy a knife. And what am I buying this for, to like, you know, defend my, no, it's always just silly little mundane tasks.
Sure.
I use mine to like flip open little cardboard boxes. Sure. I don't have fingernails. So I use mine just like to kind of get underneath the edge of a cardboard box more than anything else. So yeah, as locals and the kind of, you know, the things we're doing, I think having a good quality knife is essential to just like my daily needs. Like when I'm home around my house, if I don't have my knife in my pocket, I'll go to do something, you know, around the yard, cut some rope, tie up a fence, you know,
work. Open an Amazon box, for God's sake.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Don't even get me started.
I actually call some of my knives, like, Amazon package slayers, you know, because they're little guys, and their roles are just to, like, slice open packages. Some people say, oh, but I have such a nice knife, like, I feel bad using it. I was like, don't feel bad.
Right.
The knife's meant to be used.
It's its job.
You know, it's its job, and we can clean them, and we can make sure they work good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, and then also we do have some culinary selection, so not everybody has to be rough and tough or slicing open Amazon packages. You know, again, we do try to have a little bit of a selection of just, you know, everyday culinary knives. So, But one of the things I've done since I took the store over, and, you know, Nancy was kind of, I spent a lot of time with Nancy and learning lessons from her.
Sure.
And what's worked for you over, you know, almost 4 decades of business. What hasn't worked for you? What would you change? And, you know, she had a lot of things in there when I took over that you can find in other stores in town. Mm-hmm. She had, like, puzzles and sort of knick-knacky mugs.
I bought some signs there.
Yeah, she had, like, little signs and stuff. Yeah, and, you know, a lot of that was Falcon Gallery stuff that had kind of come over from the gallery. And I talked to her about it, and she said, you know, these are some little things I like or things I've had from the gallery. And she's like, but, you know, I don't know that they're the perfect fit for the store. So me as a customer of Quinn Knives for, like, a decade, I'd go to Quinn Knives every time I came to Julian. There's a couple stores I, you know, we all have our favorites when we're visiting tourists or whatever. Or locals, Quinn Knives was on my list. But I didn't always buy a knife. You know, I didn't always walk in there every time I visited and say to myself, today I'm going to buy another knife.
Right.
But there wasn't much else I personally would have spent my money on. So for me, when I took over, I said, you know what are some other things I can bring in? Knives are our core focus.
Sure.
You know, 95, 98% of the business, whatever you want to call it. You know, just spitballing. But what are some other things I can bring in that if you don't buy a knife, you may interest you or may support that lifestyle of outdoors and adventure and all that. So I have brought in binoculars and med bags.
Cool.
Yeah, and some backpacks and utility, you know, belts. And that's why I call it now Quinn Knives and Backcountry Goods. It's just like, yep, knives are our core focus. That's what most of our stuff is. But there's other things in there that interest you. And you know, that's we do. We get the Jeepers going down to Ocotillo. We get hikers. We get the this, the that. So yeah, that's been good. So for locals also, like, there's other things in there that you may find yourself needing other than an awesome knife.
All right, I have this question. I probably should have asked you before the interview so I knew whether or not to ask you, but do you do sharpening?
We don't.
Okay.
We don't. So traditionally, the store hasn't ever really advertised sharpening, and again, there's a long legacy. This actually allows me to talk about a favorite subject of the store.
Oh, good.
So you may remember Charlie Woods. A long-time Julian resident who worked at Quinn Knives, literally.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now I just got a picture of him in my head.
So Charlie started in the mid-late 80s, right after George opened the store. So George Quinn opened the store, kind of needed some help. Charlie, I guess, answered the call. So Charlie had been working there for a very long time. World War II veteran, was a pilot in, you know, Korean War pilot. This guy just had that Wikipedia page entry, if he had one.
Maybe he does. You don't know.
I've tried to find info on him. This guy's one of those internet ghosts. I tried to look up his military record, and I tried to find obituary. He recently passed away in March of 2021 at the ripe old age of 95, survived by his wife, Roberta, who still lives in town. But yeah, just one of those, like, world's most interesting men. And so many customers still come in, and they're like, hey, is that guy here? I used to love coming in here, and they would talk for hours. So what does that have to do with sharpening?
Yeah,
Charlie
would
sharpen knives. When Charlie would just sit there during the day, he was old school. He told me his grandfather taught him to sharpen knives. Now remember, Charlie is 95.
Right.
He learned to sharpen knives as a young boy during the Depression. His grandfather was born in, like, the mid-1800s, right? So he would sit there days when it was quiet, and if you walked in, you know, he'd be like, give me $5. And he'd, you know, go walk around, get a slice of pie. And he'd just sharpen your knife, and then you'd come back in, and he'd be like, cool. But the store traditionally has never really offered sharpening.
Sure.
George Quinn, again, back in before 2007 when George passed, he would do a similar thing where he would sort of sit there and sharpen. But we don't sharpen, and the main reason is we're, like, super small. There's not a lot of real estate. We don't have the sharpening machines in the back. There really is no back.
So that sharpening, it requires some heavy machinery.
Well, nowadays, you'll have like a belt sharpener. So it kind of looks like a belt grinder or a grinder in your shop. Or, I mean, there is, like, smaller sharpeners. We do offer, like, little quick and easy sharpeners just for your toolbox and stuff like that. But yeah, there's a few other factors when it comes to, like, liability of damaging your knife. Honestly, what I tell folks, I go, look, all of our brands, we carry quality brands. All of our brands offer lifetime sharpening. And when you're buying better quality knives, nowadays the steels are so fancy. And, you know, you've got culinary knife with a 15-degree edge. Or you got a fancy Benchmade with, I'm throwing numbers out at you, but like S90 steel. It's really specialized sharpening. It's not the old days where you just grabbed an old whetstone and gave it a go. So I say, you know what? utilize the manufacturer's free sharpening. You send it back to them. They give it a full... It's like getting a free tune-up of your car.
Yeah, sure.
They'll go through it. They'll make sure everything works good. They'll lube the joints. They'll tighten up the springs.
They'll change the tire.
And we do sell some sharpeners. And I would say, look, we've got some stuff that's very affordable. Not everything has to be a big expenditure. Sure. Like, so let me get you something that you're comfortable using. Can be quick and easy. It can be a little more advanced. And then, you know, you've got that in your back pocket. And then once a year and once every 2 years, send it back to the manufacturer.
I'm really glad I asked the question.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, yeah. And I try to work with local folks whenever I can. So I do have some local sharpeners that's like, these are like professional sharpeners.
Right,
like
right,
that's,
right.
They don't make knives. They don't sell knives. All they do is sharpen knives. Mm-hmm. So I do have a couple local guys. One's in Fallbrook. One's down the road, I think towards Vista. And I'll say, if you've got some specialty knives and you really want to get it sharpened by a professional and you don't want to send it back to the manufacturer, here's a number to call. Mm. Now I'm kind of growing their business.
Sure. Yeah.
So for me, taking over the store, it's been important to bring in San Diego knife brands. Mm. It's been important to bring in custom knife makers along with our like, you know, brand name knives like Kershaw and Benchmade. Mm. So I am working with a lot of local craftsmen now. I just brought in Madewell Knives out of Fallbrook. I've been working with Kerr Custom for over a year now. He's fantastic. We've had Jeff Morgan out of Santee. I carry Farron Forge out of El Cajon, Anza Knives. So I want to use the store as a place to shine a spotlight on other local knife
makers. Yeah, I think that's fantastic.
And service service providers. So in that sense, would be sharpeners.
It's kind of nice to hear you talk about it in an industry completely outside the realm of food, for example. You know, the thing with Jeremy, the, you know, farm to table, getting the stuff, you know, from the eggs from Tracy, who's, you know, two doors down and that kind of stuff. So the shop local, support local can go really beyond the food industry or any industry. It seems just, it's really refreshing to hear you say that because I had never really thought of it, but it makes perfect sense. Obviously, there's local guys, and if they do great work, then that's awesome of you to showcase them.
San Diego is actually a really, like, in the knife world. Uh-huh. And again, for me, it's been a deep dive for 2 years now, really getting into the knife world.
Sure.
It's one thing to be an enthusiast.
Sure.
And you read a website and you go to the local store, you pick up a couple blades and you're talking to your buddies and all that. And it's another thing to, again, work and breathe and be part of the industry, mm-hmm. right? So when I go to, like, we have trade shows just like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to the blade show, I'm no longer walking in as just a fan or consumer.
Sure.
I'm walking in as a small business, brick and mortar retail knife seller.
Right.
Right. So it's been interesting for me coming from my old world in marketing where I used to have to be a marketing chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
I worked a lot in sports marketing, X Games and all that stuff. Right. So one day I'm kind of hanging out with the snowboarders and you got to kind of speak their language.
Right.
And then you go over there and you're with the BMX guys and you got to speak their language. And you may not be endemic. It may not be your personal hobby, but you sort of got to be able to like insert yourself in and learn it really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing that in the knife world. And it is interesting because San Diego is a really strong knife community.
Huh.
And if you stop and kind of step back to 2 feet, it makes tons of sense, right? Mm-hmm. We have great outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got hiking, hunting, jeeping, camping,
fishing.
Just, you know, mm-hmm. fishing, all that mm-hmm. stuff. So we have a lot of people that are using knives at a very recreational level.
Mm-hmm.
Plus we're, you know, we're one of the most beautiful cities in the world, right? So you got a great food scene, you got professional chefs and that kind of thing. We also have how many military bases here?
Right.
Right. So we have a lot of active duty military between Navy, Army coming up out of El Centro. We got the Marines, Pendleton, 29, even 29 Palms guys I see. You know, we've got Forest Rangers, Border Patrol, state, you know, state law enforcement, sheriff law enforcement, local municipality law enforcement. So we have a huge, like, working knife community where this is part of their daily kit.
Right.
We got ranchers. So not only do you have a strong, like, consumer user base,
mm-hmm.
but we have a long history of knife companies. So Buck Knives,
mm-hmm.
San Diego based forever, right? Mm-hmm. Now they're up in Idaho. They built, like, a massive facility and all that jazz. So they moved out of town. But Buck was here forever.
Mm-hmm.
You still have a ton of strong companies. Anza Knives has been here for a long time. There's a new brand, Tor Knives,
mm-hmm.
USMC Marine guy, veteran-owned. They're out of El Cajon. They're doing some great stuff. Tor
That's
Knives.
Great.
We have half face blades, Andy, form, you know, Navy SEAL. Sometimes I say like former, and I don't want any of these dudes to come and pop me in the jaw. It's like once a Marine, always a Marine, once right, Navy SEAL, right, you know, right. All that kind of thing. Yeah, so yeah, yeah. I guess when I say former, I mean not currently active.
Sure.
But yeah, Andy with half face, Navy SEAL background, Connor down at Tor, Marine Corps. We got Farron Forge, which is Chris and Elliot. So there's so many brands here still, and there's tons of individual makers as well. Like, it's unbelievable how many knife makers are in the San Diego area.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for me as a like farm to table, and you're talking about like Jeremy at Jeremy's on the Hill and all that stuff. For me, it was really important. Quinn Knives was started by a custom knife maker. George Quinn decided he didn't want to be an architect anymore. He was a professor at Kansas State, all these things. He said, I want to make knives. So the store was started by a custom knife maker who then turned his store into a retail outlet for all brands. So I'm almost wanting to honor that legacy and say, how can I bring in custom makers and give them a showcase? Because, yes, Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff's great as an individual maker. But what I'm finding is a lot of my knife makers are starting to tell me, hey, Alex, we'd rather just send you knives and let you sell them through your store.
Sure.
Because for us to deal with emails and DMs and take payments and customer service, like, they don't want to deal with it. They just want to make knives. And a lot of them have full-time jobs. Like, when you're an individual maker, it's like a band, right? Like, it takes a lot before you're kind of at a point you're self-sustaining and maybe you can leave your full-time work. So for a lot of my knife makers, they have full-time work. And the knife making is a passion and it's something they love, and great, it makes a little money too. But all that time you spend doing emails and website photos and all that takes away from what they really want to do, which is just go beat the heck out of metal. So so I'm trying to use the store to help be that outlet. So if you're a customer and you're listening, thank you. there's a lot of places you can buy knives at, right? I need to make sure that Quinn Knives has reasons for you to want to come to Julian, spend time with me in the store, and find things you're not going to find at the big online retailer. The custom stuff is part of that. And then our knowledge is the other thing. Like, boy, we'll spend 30, 40 minutes easily. All the time. We'll keep on there for 40 minutes. Going over, we'll look at dozens of knives before they finally say, this is the one I want.
Right. It's like a wedding ring.
It is. it's and it's always a lot of fun banter and kind of back and forth ribbon. But to me, that's time well spent. And I tell guys, I go, look, man, I don't care if you walk out of here with a $40 knife or a $400 knife. I want you to just find the knife that you're jazzed on, right? You carry it every day. It's in your pocket. It's part of your makeup. It's part of your daily kit. It's like getting your watch, your keys, whatever. And for us to spend the time to walk you through all the options and talk about the brands and, you know where they're made. We know the backstories. As long as you walk out and you've had a good experience, I'm cool.
Right. You've done your job.
And I know you're going to come back. And like, again, when I say I know you're going to come back, that isn't like, oh, you're going to come back and spend more money.
No.
It's just, I know you're going to come back to Julian one day. And I know you're going to, you know, talk about that fun day you had up in town. And, oh, man, you know, how many people argue about who's got the best pie?
Right.
You know, like, it's fun. It's a great weekend. It's a great day trip. So I also want you to tell your friends, like, man, I went to this rad knife store and you wouldn't believe it. And you know, check out this, again, $40 Kershaw I bought. Totally fine. Or check out this awesome handmade custom piece that this guy made out of koa wood from Hawaii. And, you know, this dude's now the expert telling all his friends.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think that's the strength Julian has. You know, I come from that macro marketing world, and people love being the one in their friend network to share a cool thing.
Sure.
When you find, like, a new band, how often are you telling your friends, like, you got to check this band out. You know.
So, to be honest with you, years ago, I was that way over Natural Selection, which, you know, is our local band that everybody loves. And my friends down the hill, I'm like, you got to come up and hear this band. So totally know exactly
what you mean. Cool little restaurant or whatever it is. There's that neat thing that, and we don't share it to be like braggadocious or anything. It's just fun, right? You like getting your friends jazzed up on cool stuff. So, you know, I think Julian, like, that's a strength that all of us can lean into, you know, and provide that experience for folks and let them go home and be like, hey, man, like, oh, we had the best time and we drove up in the coolest, you know, nicest roads and we walked around the coolest little town and we found the neatest store. Like, people are getting back to a little bit of like enjoying a crafted experience. Yep. And crafted makes me feel a bit like Disney World, where they're feeding you everything. Maybe an authentic experience, sure, is a better term, where, I don't know, I'm a child of the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm, right? In the 90s, 90s high school and everything. It was like the mall was the thing. You went to the mall and you cruised around.
That was the same. I'm a teenager in the 70s and 80s. It was the same back then.
And it was, we were all excited about the big, shiny mall and the
food court.
Oh my God, yeah. First real job was working in the food court. I thought I had it made.
Maybe. My first real job was McDonald's, so totally, yeah.
I was at the pizza joint. Let me tell you, that was the cool spot. Yeah, right.
That's so funny.
But like, almost now, we're almost going back in a good way, you know? Like,
absolutely.
You know, we kind of realize like all that spit polish and shine sometimes rings a bit hollow, you know? And I have so many customers that come in and they tell me, hey man, I know I could probably buy this knife somewhere cheaper, you know? And we do our best to, of course, be competitive as best we can. But, you know, sometimes I see these online guys and they're selling stuff for a couple bucks more than you buy it for.
Yeah.
And it's a volume proposition, sure, where they say, hey, we don't care. We're going to sell 10,000 of them.
Right.
So if we make a buck each,
yeah,
great, who cares? Right. And they don't have like a retail store. They don't have, you know, rent. They don't have staff. It's just a guy sitting in his room with a closet full of whatevers.
Yeah.
So, but they tell me, they go, hey, I know I can value shop and probably save $5 or $10 or whatever. And that's real money. I 100% respect that. But they say, you know, we come up here because we enjoy it.
Right.
We enjoy getting our hands on the product. Like, I do sell a product that getting in your hand is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times even I order knives for my store, and I get it in, and I put it in my hand, I go, well, that's really not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, you can read the specs, and you can look at all the pictures, but until you hold it and operate it and really get a feel for it, it's not the same.
Yeah.
And yeah, like people are enjoying that authentic experience. And when you're spending real money on stuff, personally, myself as a consumer, I would rather go and be hands-on and talk to a knowledgeable, you know, person who knows the product and spend X amount of dollars more, but know I'm walking away with the exact thing I want and walk away knowing I feel good about that purchase than just sometimes click it. If I'm just buying like toilet paper, who cares? But when you're buying...
Yeah, that's a really bad example.
I suppose, yeah. Especially everything we went through, right? We're still having like the
toilet paper is super...
Toilet paper wars 2020. I guess what I'm saying, when you buy like a commodity and it really doesn't matter that much, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
But when you're buying something that's going to be with you for 20, 30 years...
You may pass on to your teenage kid,
totally,
whatever.
And you're carrying it every day. You know, you definitely want to make sure that you make an educated decision.
Sure.
And I think, again, all of our stores up here, the products we tend to sell, like, really lend themselves to that one-on-one experience.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So, speaking of that, what are your hours?
Okay, so, yeah, I know, it's tough up here. We really grind them up here. But we're open every day except Tuesday. So, Tuesday is... The store used to be 7 days a week, but... Since I took over, I decided to close Tuesdays, just so we have a day to recharge, and it tends to be pretty slow up here and get some work done.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're open every day but Tuesday. We open roughly at 10 a.m., you know, intended hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
So kind of in line with, we tend to open a little earlier than some of the other other ones, but most of the stores up here seem to be about that 5 o'clock on weekends, give or take.
Yeah, I've said it before on the podcast. My husband jokes that at 5 o'clock they roll up the sidewalks and Julie.
That's it. Well, you know what? We're all going home to enjoy that great outdoor life.
Yeah.
And you know, and for folks that visit here, we know this. A lot of them are driving from a couple hours away, right? So.
Yeah.
A lot of them start hitting the road around like that 4:30 so they can get back to Orange County, even back down to like La Mesa, wherever, hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not getting home till 6:37 and, you know, if it's a Sunday or whatever.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I totally get that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where we're open. I am working on the website, which is probably my number one request from customers at the moment. Again, a testament to just the strength of the store over almost four decades. Like, we have people that visit from Orange County, LA, you know, anywhere in the area, Arizona, et cetera. But also, how many people come to San Diego, and Julian in general makes advantage of this, are visiting tourists. Mm-hmm. You know, summer vacation, you're visiting from Arkansas, Massachusetts, Florida, wherever. And you're coming out to San Diego having a great time. So I have people come in, they tell me, Alex, I will buy stuff from you back in any town USA.
Right.
Just get your website up.
Yeah.
So I'm working on that. That's my big to-do for the next month or two. The Instagram is @Quinn_knives. That's mm-hmm. been a really great way to, like, get and connect with our core consumer.
Sure.
So I tell folks, I go, shoot me a DM. It's me on the other side of the phone. Right. It's not just some, you know, whatever, nameless person. I will take pictures of knives. I'll send you details, like, you know, I'll send you videos, like, whatever. So we have such a great community through our Instagram and our Facebook. It's just Quinn Knives, all one word.
And all of this, just so you know, will be in the show notes.
Oh, awesome.
And people can link to them. And it shows up on the blog, on our website, and then our platform, Spotify, Google, Google Podcasts. And so any way to contact you will be in the show notes so that people can go, got to talk to this guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to share this myself. And yeah, that's it's been fun. Like, one of the other things I've done recently is I've just, you know, not a lot of merch. You know, we're a knife store. We're not a t-shirt store. Right. But, you know, people, you know, they say, hey, you know, they're enjoying, they'll buy like a Quinn Knife shirt or mm-hmm. Quinn Knife's hat or even a sticker. And I can't tell you, like, coming from a guy that worked for billion-dollar companies, and it was always cool when you saw people rocking, you know, whatever, Monster Energy hat uh-huh. or, you know, a Red Bull, just a couple brands I work for. But, man, I'll tell you, when somebody buys a Quinn Knife's hat uh-huh. or it, like, literally hits me in the heart. I'm just like, oh. And I look them straight in the eye, I go, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for representing the store mm-hmm. and making a choice today and going out there and wearing our hat or putting a sticker on the back of your Jeep or whatever. So, yeah, it's really fun to see, I guess, I kept the name. I really wanted to honor Nancy and George and keep the legacy alive, and that means a lot to me, like the history. So it means a lot to just see it go out there and kind of live out in the world.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
spread the good love of Julian.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, totally different store. But I swear to you, I think the only thing my husband owns is Nickel Bear t-shirts. He wears them everywhere.
Really?
So we'll be in Alaska. He's got, and you take pictures, Nickel Bear. New Orleans, Nickel Bear. Las Vegas. And so when people yeah. love something, they'll travel. So maybe you'll see it. And that's the other kick in the pants to get your website up, because this guy's out there wearing a Quinn Knives t-shirt in Vegas, somebody asks, and
well, that's true. Yeah,
I know Instagram's cool, but
no, the website is the website's coming, and it's much needed, because it's a place that we can support our customers. And I always say it's going to be a very curated website. It's going to, you know, we're still a small business and all that stuff. There's only so many hours in the day. It's us running around to the post office.
Sure.
It's us packing.
Just don't be afraid. And I say this to everybody that because I've been working with people doing websites for, don't be afraid to throw up kind of a skeleton one and build
right.
it. It's not a brochure that you just paid $1 billion to print 1,000 of and it's not ready. You can build a website. So get something up there and just build on it as you can.
What is that great saying? Don't let perfect get in the way of good.
Right?
Yeah. Very, very
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been fun. I'll tell you, the day I see a Quinn Knives thing, you know, shirt, hat, sticker yeah. in the wild, I'm going to run up to that person and just be like, they'll think they won like Publishers Clearing House. I'll just be like, oh, my God. I'll be jumping around. I have seen my shirts out in the wild at like knife shows uh-huh. and shout out to Kellen. He's a local down in Winola. And I was at a blade show in Long Beach. And I was like, oh, what's up? That's one of my locals, yeah. one of my customers. And, you know, so I have seen our stuff kind of yeah. like out in the wild a little bit, but it's always been at like knife events.
Right.
But like one day I'm sure I'll be at like Disney World or something yeah. and be like, that dude's wearing a Quinn Knives hat.
There
you know,
go.
That's
or you're at a restaurant and you see him, like, you know, three tables
yeah.
away.
And they'll be like, why is that strange man staring at me and, like, exactly. making stabbing, you know, hand stabby motions? And I'll be like, no, Quinn Knives, that's me. Yeah, that'll be super, super fun. Yeah. And that's exciting. You know, yeah. that's something that, again, I speak to all of us, because I'm a firm believer that all of the stores up here need to sort of support each other. Mm-hmm. And the better experience our customers have visiting, the better we'll all do. And, you know, that's something that as small businesses, we can't compete with the big dogs mm-hmm. in certain ways,
sure.
you know, but there are little things we can do to sort of expand our little reach a little bit and just kind of, again, cultivate that sort of fun vibe that's mm-hmm. going on. And that kind of just, yeah.
Well, it's like it came from Jeremy. I know it's sometimes things that are important or what have you don't reach you, and other people know all about it forever. But Jeremy threw out, and it's exactly what you're saying, is that a rising tide lifts all boats.
100%.
So, you know, if I'm doing well and I'm bringing folks in, it's going to serve you because I'm next door to you, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm a firm believer of that. Like, I get frustrated when, and then this really isn't a Julian thing, this is just a life thing. Like, any, you know, whatever industry you work in, whatever your job, I'm sure listeners all have their own walks of life, and they can sit there and go, oh, yeah, I hate that, you know. But I hate when we all sort of, like, kind of, like, try to, walled garden a little bit and try to protect, like, this is mine. Now, again, up in a small town, we do have to respect our, like, our product kind of specialties a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there is only so many kind of fish there in the pond. But, yeah, like, if you're a customer of my store, I want you to be a customer of other stores. Mm-hmm. And people ask me, oh, what's the best pie place or what's the best place to get food? Mm-hmm. I don't just say X, you know? Whatever my personal opinions are, I'm not going to just say, go here.
Yeah.
I'll say, hey, here's a couple to try out. If you're feeling this kind of food, go here. If you're feeling this, go there. If you're in a more in a mood for that, try that.
Yeah.
Oh, pie? Well, here, let me tell you about the pie places in town.
Mm.
You know, you got to try them all. Right. You know, and you kind of like, you want to, if all the businesses are up here succeeding, then by default, well, I'm succeeding,
exactly,
right?
Absolutely.
And that goes for the town. Like, I know you guys, you know, sounds like I'm smug-nosing, but, you know, you guys are always working to, like,
stop doing that.
I know. I'm like, listeners, I'm like frantically wiping dust off a thing next to me.
Apparently my coffee machine is dusty.
Yeah, didn't you know clean coffee machine? Yeah. Sorry. Idle hands. But like with the Town Square project.
Yeah.
You know, that's bringing more to the downtown experience, you know.
Yeah.
I know the bathrooms are everybody's least favorite things to deal with, but they're so vital to having a good, you know, visitor experience.
Right.
And how many people walk in my store every day? Hey, where's the bathrooms? Oh, go across the street, take a right, it's behind Town Hall. So all these little things, parking and access to bathrooms and fun little things to places to sit, enjoy your meal and outdoor entertainment. These are all things that make the drive up here worth it,
right?
Along with, obviously, awesome stores.
Right, Quint Knives, baby.
And great knives. Yeah. So yeah. Well, I want to give a quick shout out because I know we're getting close on time, but I'm at a point now where I actually have a couple of people helping me at the store.
Oh, great.
Which is insane because for the first like year and a half, it's been very family. So I took over the store, full-time job, love it. My dad had recently retired and moved to California. I was like, Dad, move out to California, ride your motorcycle year-round, be close to me and the wife, all that good stuff. So he moved out and he always said, oh, I'd like a little part-time job and just keep me busy, maybe work at a coffee shop, motorcycle shop. So one day I called him, I was like, hey, guess what? I got you a part-time job. So he's been helping me since day one. So that's my dad, Sydney, and tons of customers. He's got his own kind of customers now that come in looking for him. But he's normally there, you know, 3-4 days a week in a part-time capacity. So my dad's my right-hand man. You'll see him a lot up there. So we're very family in that sense. But I also have two part-timers. I got Michael, who's former Navy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up from San Diego here and there to help out. And then I got a great local Melody, who recently started working, you know, a couple times a month. So, I couldn't do it without the help from others.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely wanted to make sure. I know I'm sure they'll be listening. So
yeah,
I wanted to say thank
to
you to Sid, Michael, and Melody because it's fun to see the family growing. And, again, to me, that's the stuff that excites me. It's having customers come in and have a great time and also just providing a service to the community. That's been fun.
Well, your enthusiasm is very well recognized. You do have that. My hands have to be doing something in a minute. Totally get that. Maybe you should start making knives of your own and give your fingers.
They ask me that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm too busy slinging steel over the counter.
It was really great to have you come in, and I look forward to, like I said in the show notes, posting all your contact info. People go check out your Instagram and come up and see you at Quint Knives. I just think that you're hopefully they caught your and excitement bug, and next time they're in Julian, they'll come and stop by and check out.
Well, I hope they do. I hope they find us hiding back there 40 feet off the sidewalk.
Is it 40 feet? Did you measure it?
Yeah, exactly. But no, I look forward to it. I tell folks, I'm like, just come in and hang out, have a chat, poke around. And again, I never want anybody to be intimidated. Come in, learn something new if you don't know anything, or if some guys come in, they know more than I do. Mm-hmm. And there's a point where I just look at them and go, hey, man, you should be on my side of the counter.
Right.
You know, but yeah, thanks so much for having this. I'm definitely going to share it amongst the Quinn Knives community.
Cool.
And we look forward to keeping this play. We've been here 40 years. Let's keep it going
a little while longer.
Keep it going.
Thank you for being such a good representation. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming.
I'm good.
All right. Adios.
See ya.
Bye.